Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, my co-host Barbara, she hasn't called in, but I'm sure she will when she can. And our guest today is comedian Carla Collins. Are you there, Carla?
I am, Jonathan.
Now, I'm curious. I mean, what got you started in stand-up comedy?
Well, I actually started on two different occasions. I always loved comedy since I was a kid. I won a whole, Kiwanis Speech Festival with my speech on humor. And I love all types of comedy, from the Three Stooges to Oscar Wilde. So it was also a really big part of my family. I'm like the least funny family member, but I just steal everybody else's bits. So after university, I had an opportunity to go on stage. The owner of a comedy club called the Comedy Nest in Montreal overheard me making my girlfriend laugh, invited me to go on stage, which was, of course, the most terrifying thing ever. And it went really well. And I ended up getting into Just for Laughs, big festival that year, but it did not have a thick enough skin for it. The male comics in particular gave me a hard time, and I just felt like I was working in TV and radio, and I just thought to myself, I don't need this, and I left it. And I returned a few years ago because it is my first love, and I'm old enough now, so I don't really give a crap what anybody thinks about me, and got over my nerve problem with it. So now I can't wait to go on stage. I would do 45 minutes at a garage sale if I could. So I think I just do it because it's absolute freedom. You don't have, you're your own producer, director, writer. So that's why I love it. And I just feel like we need it now more than ever, obviously.
I understand. Yeah, I do think that what's important about it is, we hear jokes and then we forget why the joke is being told in the first place. Like sometimes we think we're being made fun of, making fun of somebody, but just because you're joking about something doesn't necessarily mean you're making fun of it. Am I right in saying that?
Well, I don't know, but my philosophy is, I think probably because the family I grew up in, that teasing each other equaled love. And a lot of time and energy and care goes into a joke, so to me, there's a lot of love in making fun of something. It means they're thinking about you. There's no bad press. So to me, there's a whole lot of attention that goes into a joke. I'm always good with someone making fun of me. As my mom would say, worry about when no one's talking about you.
I understand. Who was your heroes with comedy?
I have quite a few. My heroes would be obviously the two godfathers, Richard Pryor and George Carlin. I'm compared a lot to Robin Williams, which is a huge compliment, and Carol Burnett. Has watched her as a kid. I really like old school. They're not necessarily stand-ups, but Mae West is one of my idols, who was a brilliant woman and wrote and combined sexy with comedy, and, of course, Lucille Ball. And currently, I would say that the GOAT, the greatest of all time for me, is Dave Chappelle right now. So.
When was the last time a comedian left you laughing your head off?
I just watched Jim Jeffries' special on Netflix. Not his latest one, because that comes out later this week, but I don't know about laughing my head off. I'm a pretty easy room. I I think various ones. I like Chappelle. Who else have I seen recently? Patton Oswalt is very smart. And has always been a favorite of mine. I was even watching Pete Davidson and laughing at the stories about his father. So really depends. And laughing my head off, that's usually my younger brother gets me doing that. So I tend to gravitate to anyone who can get me laughing. I always think it's as much as it sounds trite, I always think it's the closest distance between two people. So
give me one more, please. Okay. I mean, do you consider, I mean, a lot of people consider Richard Pryor to be the best ever.
Yeah, so. I agree with that. I'd say Richard Pryor, and for, you know, if you're going more old school, and current day Dave Chappelle, no contest. Dave Chappelle is fearless. It's the comedian's comedian. He is not, you know, he doesn't have to answer to any corporation. Like Kevin Hart and Joe Rogan will tell you, you know, that he's not on a television show. I think his sketch show, the Chappelle Show, was one of the greatest of all time. And I think his comedy for right now is fearless. He's not worried about cancel culture. For me, Sticks and Stones is probably the best comedy special in the last, you know, 20 years. So I think if you're talking about currently, there's no one, and especially someone to address the times. I mean, he came out with 8:46 to address what happened to George Floyd. He's just absolutely fearless, and he's brilliant. And when everything was happening with the with the riots and the protesters, I remember thinking the only person to address this would be Dave Chappelle or the ghost of Richard Pryor. So I think those are two of the kings. Absolutely.
Give me one second. I need to check something real quick here.
Okay.
Okay, let me see here. Everybody, we're having some problems with the line, so I'm trying to get my co-host in. Let's see here. Okay. I'm sorry, everybody. You had some problems when you tried to dial in yourself, right?
The first time I dialed in, I got a busy signal, and I haven't heard a busy signal. And so.
Okay. Yeah. Let me see. I'm trying to think of a way we can do this here, because I'd like for my co-host to connect. It's okay.
Well, sure.
Okay, give me a second here. Okay. 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 Give me one second here. I'm explaining to her that. Okay. Okay, give me one second here. I mean, it's I hate it when these technical problems happen. Because they don't normally happen. So give me one second here. Okay. I didn't know that we were going to be having technical problems tonight, so I'm trying to make sure everybody is connected. Okay. Give me 1 second here. It's good to know that you have something that makes people feel better. You know, give me 1 second here. Okay. Okay. Okay, give me 1 moment, please. See, I'm trying. Okay. Give me 1 moment, please. Okay. I'm sorry about all this technical stuff, everyone. Okay. I'm trying to see if she can call in, okay. Okay. Give me 1 minute here.
Okay.
Right here. This is Carla Collins.
Hi.
This is Barbie
Carla.
Moore.
Hi. Don't tell me we're live right now.
We are live, yes. But it's okay. Look.
Oh, hi, everybody.
This
I don't
stuff
know
happened.
Why.
Yeah. We don't know why.
Hold on. Johnny, can I say something,
sorry.
Please? I just
no, right
say in. Hello. Hi, everybody. Sorry I was not able to call in. There was some technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Those are behind us now. I'm here. So, hello, Carla. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm so glad you got the bug got worked out.
Well, yeah, if anything, this could probably be some good material for your comedy routine.
I will personally file a customer service report with Blog Talk. I apologize to both of you.
Okay.
And I just want to just hopefully we can go on to the interview. This okay. lady, by the way, Carla, is one of my best friends.
Really?
And,
oh, wow. I
and,
love
you. And, what I meant to say, Carla, I was telling Carla that you were one of my best friends.
Oh, okay. I am, yes.
Because
it
really is. I mean, when we go through stuff in the show, I always take it very personally. Whenever there's a technical problem, like I want to make sure that I get care of everyone.
Well, we know that, Johnny, but listen to this. We have a very talented person on the line right
yes.
now. You're live,
right.
So let's get to it. Why don't
okay.
we? And I mean, technical issues, yes, it happened. But now let's do the interview.
Okay,
let's find
so
out
do you have any questions
Carla.
For Carla? Do you have any questions for Carla?
Well, of course I do.
Okay.
Hi, Carla. Where do you perform? What city do you reside in?
Oh, I'm in Los Angeles. So when
oh,
there's
wow.
not a, yeah. 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 So I perform all over LA and when it's not a quarantine or shutdown, all over Canada and all over, you know, wherever the gigs bring me. But right now I'm doing live streaming from a local theater. So
that's wonderful.
It's sort of the new normal.
I know. That's what everybody's saying. And people are figuring it out, and they're doing it. So did you find a lot of your peers were trying to find one place where they could showcase their material right now during the coronavirus?
Well, I think the only, really the only option is online for most people. Some of the places in the U.S., I guess in Canada, maybe some clubs are open, but not a lot. And a lot aren't comfortable with doing that. So I think people have gone either to Zoom. A lot of people have stepped away from it entirely because they, as they say, they feel like comedy without an audience, like sex without an orgasm. And myself.
Right.
A little disappointing, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind it. When we were in the deep, deep heart of the shutdown, I was doing a Facebook Live show every week. I think it helps when you're drinking. And also, I have a background in television and radio. So I just had the person whom I refer to as my older gentleman lover and my chihuahua, and we did shows. And now I've transferred over to a local theater that is very close to me, which I'm lucky, and they're the only theater in Los Angeles that has full live streaming capabilities. It's called The White Fire, and I did a show there a couple weeks ago. And there were about, you know, with the crew members and just, you know, two of my friends, five people was like a big treat to be in front of five sentient beings. So I'll be performing there a couple times a month. And that way people from all over the planet can watch. So there are pros and cons. I also do something called comedic meditation. So I may be in a unique position where the meditation part, the guided meditation works even better because everybody's at home. They're in the quiet and safety and comfort of their own home. And at the end, they can roll over and go to sleep if they like.
Oh, I like that. Interesting, because I have a little funny story about that. I was trying to learn how to meditate, and my daughter, who's 13, she's really into it. Every time I would sit across from her, cross-legged, I would try to just have a straight face and do the breathing exercise, and I was, like, laughing every single time. And that reminds me, like, what you just said, you have this meditation comedy hour, because that's what ours seemed like all the time. So she would get very mad at me because I could not be serious. So I'm working on that, but what is yours like? I want to hear about this.
Well, I created it because I just really wanted to take the woo-woo and preciousness out of meditation. I think meditation is extremely beneficial for a myriad of reasons, everything from getting better sleep to anti-aging to getting inspiration and creativity. But a lot of people shy away from it, and I think it's also, especially living in L.A., you know, everybody, every second person is a guru. And they tell you that there's no wrong way to meditate, and there's no voodoo involved or religion. So I wanted to, and I know myself, I'm very A-type. I'm a very hyperactive person. I've got severe ADD. I'm always shaking like a chihuahua on meth after a couple of five-hour energy drinks. So I always had a difficult time meditating and preferred yoga or moving meditation. But I found that if I did comedy and made people laugh for a good 30 minutes, they got out of their own way, out of their own head. They forgot about their problems. They, you know, released energy, exhausted themselves, and released endorphins, and they were able to drift into a nice, deeper state of relaxation for the guided meditation part, which is authentic. It's not me doing shtick. It's an actual guided meditation. So I was telling Jonathan earlier off air that it sounds like a really odd marriage, but it makes more sense than you think, because both laughter and meditation produce the same brainwave state, which is gamma. So they actually do go together.
Oh, I love that you did this research and are doing this. That is really interesting. And it is true. And also the stretching releases it, just all the deep breathing and the humor. That is exactly why I would laugh, because of the, you know, the all the fluff that goes along with it, you know, and it would just like tickle me. So I think this is
what?
Right up my alley.
It's a great thing. I mean, laughing during meditation is just bliss. I mean, there's never the bad reason to laugh. So I think that's just that's what I'm trying to do, is open it up to more people. And so this ends up being great for newcomers who maybe shied away from meditation or were scared to try it. And veterans are telling me, at least the feedback I'm getting is that they're getting a much deeper, more relaxed state. People have had visions. I was like, oh, I'm going to need a testimonial from you. It's nice for newbies, and it's nice for people who have been meditating for years. It gives it a new twist, and I think allows them to relax faster and
oh, yes,
because they spent time laughing, and it's just positive. And it's, I mean, who doesn't need to laugh and relax right now?
Oh, we all do. I'm on your website right now. I love this quote. The world is a crazy. Carla Collins, comedian. Let's see. Nope, CarlaCollins.com.
CarlaCollins.com, which has some information on that. And I also have comedicmeditation.com for anybody who wants to go a little deeper or find out more about it. And, you know, it's great because it got some wonderful press. But, you know, NBC came and did a story on it when I first started. Of course, I was doing it live. And now I've switched over to either just private. I do one-on-ones for people, which I think people enjoyed when they were in quarantine.
I really love this. Well, I haven't checked out other website yet, but when I do, what will I find there? Will I be able to connect with some past meditation?
Well, if you check out comedic meditation, you can connect with me.
That you've done?
You can connect with me and book a private, or
Johnny.
You can get six.
Yeah, I'm here.
You can get.
Did she drop?
No, she said she's still on the air.
Okay, well, this is such an important question because, well, I'm going to go on while we're waiting for her to reconnect. I'm going to go on her other website right now. I really want to tune into this comic. It is. It's a comic relief, really. It's the meditation.
It is.
Comedy hour, and I am very intrigued. Is this how you found her, because of the meditation?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I wanted it to be something that was educational, but at the same time, comedic. And
I
saw
here.
The connection, I knew I had to contact her.
Oh, yeah. It's
Can
so
you guys
cute.
Hear me?
So I'm going to log on to that right now. Is she back yet?
She's not here. Let me see if... Let me see here.
I can hear
you
guys.
Work on it while I go check it out and talk about it.
Jay, give me 1 second here.
Okay, comic meditation. I'm typing it in, everybody. And if
comedic
you're at home
meditation.
Near your computer, do it as well.
Okay.
Comedic meditation.
Okay. Maybe I'll try calling her through and putting her through. Give me 1 second here. Okay.
What a great idea. Okay, there it is. I am on her other website, Carla Collins, Introducing Comedic Meditation, Lighthearted Enlightenment. I love
Carla,
this. And she says, okay, hi, Carla.
Hi. I could hear you guys the whole time. Can you hear me?
Okay,
Carla,
let me read another thing. Like Botox for your third eye. I think that is super clever.
Thanks.
She's funny. You can book private
Carla?
Sessions with Carla. Through both of these websites, and they're very nice too. And she has her little chihuahua and her cute big black dog, and she's beautiful. So everybody, please check out Carla Collins. I'm sorry, I'm reading at the same time. And she's going to be streaming live from the White Fire Theater.
Now, Carla, are you there?
I am.
Hi,
okay, I just
rewind
Carla in.
I've been here the whole
great.
Time. I could hear you guys.
You know, talking about Mercury retrograde. I mean, seriously. I mean, this is. But I was telling Barbara about how. See, it's sort of like we sometimes go to higher levels of experience and transcendental and everything. And when you said comedy in meditation, I saw the link and I thought, oh, I had to have her on. Because it was just, you know, and Barbara understands this. She goes, she would understand. Yeah, you understand now with the whole why I had to seek her out, right, Barbara?
Yes, I found out right away. It's a connection with the spiritual. You found her somehow with that search engine, but I don't know how. Was it Facebook, Twitter, Instagram?
It was a thing called Funny Chicks was what it was. And she was always, yeah. I don't know if you remember where it was, but it was like as soon as I saw her, I thought I had to look this lady up. And then it was just like it was just amazing. So I sent her Instagram and I told her about some of the things we've done on our show. And I also saw, I think you mentioned a post about eclipses on your Instagram. I'm not sure if that was that you that did that.
Oh, yeah, because I had the world about a week or two ago. I did the world premiere of Comedic Meditation at the Whitefire Theater, and there were six planets in retrograde.
Yeah.
And a lot of my humor, I think I mentioned this to you when we were sending notes back and forth. I've always been trying to combine comedy and spirituality. I wrote a comedic self-help book called Angels, Vampires, and Douchebags. I've performed comedy at the Bala Center here. So they're two of my passions, and I'm always trying to combine them. But I also, as I mentioned to Jonathan, Barbara, I love to make fun of some spiritual things because it's hilarious to me as well.
Yes.
So, a lot of my comedy is playing off that, like I'll make a joke like, I don't know what people in LA mean when they say I'm holding space for you. I'm like, is that PSYGAP? Are you saving me a seat at the movies? Do you have Neil deGrasse Tyson in a chokehold? What are you talking about? Because as I mentioned to Jonathan as well off air, you know, a lot of care and time and attention and energy goes into writing a joke. So I often tend to make fun and make light of things I love.
Well,
right.
For instance, I have done this, not to make fun, but like, for instance, this had to do with something involving, you know, there was a question I had about the Pope, and I don't know if your background, if any Catholicism in your background, but you know how they always say that the Pope is the church is not a democracy, what the Pope says goes. And the new Pope is not the Pope until they pick him. And then once the guy dies, then you know, he's not the Pope. So, in other words, that week before they decide who the new Pope is and until after the Pope dies, does church close? Is the week a freebie? Do you sit all you want?
Right.
You know, I mean,
well,
do you?
Yeah, I have a Catholic upbringing as well, so.
And actually, another question I asked in Sunday school is, if you can pray to get people out of purgatory, can you pray to keep people in purgatory? Like, what about looking at the sky and saying, hey, give Harry four more years, just leave him there, you know?
Well, exactly. I was taught, when my mom, who was my best friend and my everything, and I think my soulmate this time around, she passed away a few years ago very unexpectedly. And so obviously that was crushing for me, but I did an entire show called Laugh After Death. I think there's a lot of comedy to be found in death and dark subjects. I think dark humor, very slimming. But I had gone back to church for the first time in forever, and I was making the observation that things had changed, because when they pass that little bird's nest or hat around for money, you know, you get really pressured by the priest and the blue-haired ladies, and everybody's shaming you into putting, and you can't just put in a dollar. When you were younger, you have to, like, it's 20 bucks or nothing. And so my joke was like, boy, 20 bucks for one sip of wine. This is the crappiest bar. I'm never coming back.
Oh, my gosh. I love your joke.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, but the quotes and everything. I love this quote. Doing a lot of yoga so I can be as flexible as my morals. I mean, what you come up with is so clever, and it's one after the other. Yeah, and I'm just perusing through both your websites, and it's one after another, and your websites are beautiful, and there's a lot to you. Are you also teaching yoga?
I don't teach yoga. I do yoga. I teach dance, or at least I was, again, before the quarantine. I've been dancing since I was 2.5 years old, and a couple of years ago I did start teaching bar and Zumba at Gold Venice.
Great.
Classes have not returned, but and I love yoga, but I haven't, I mean, you know, I love to do the whole sort of, you know, yoga retreat in India and become an instructor at some point, but that's many hours, and I just, you know, I just do it on my own. But
right. Me too. Yeah. But I want to do a yoga retreat, but not become an instructor. Maybe someday, but I want to do one just because I think that would be a wonderful time and experience and a cleansing. And wow, wouldn't that be so great? Yes.
Oh,
is anybody else? I mean, you're the only one. I've never heard of this before at all.
Well,
you're doing this.
I created it, so, you know, we've trademarked it, and I'm hoping to get this to the masses more and more. We're looking at bringing, you know, comedic meditation to some of the digital platforms and starting a podcast because, again, I'm just very interested in blending, you know, comedy with spirituality and having experts and pundits in both fields. And thank you so much for liking my web design. It's not at all me. I'm like a bonnet away from being Amish. I'm horrible technically, so... But I do have a wonderful gal, Kirsten Rutherford, who is a big baller. She's like a huge advertising executive. But she just fell in love with the comedic meditation, so she put that site together for me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, did my flyers for these shows. So I'm always coming up with today. I think my quote was, I put the disco in self-discovery. So, again, I love it. I think we just shouldn't take ourselves too seriously. And I always enjoyed when I took some courses at the Kabbalah Center here. You know, I joke when you go to LA, you have to join a gang. Kabbalah's for the Scientologists. So I went with Madonna's. And they said that they call it laughter is the closest thing to God. They call it holy laughter. And I was mentioning to Jonathan. Cousin says laughter is the closest distance between two people. So that's really just my basic philosophy in life. So I like being the rodeo clown, but maybe with a little bit of enlightenment.
Well, yes. And just all of your sayings, the ones that just rolled off your tongue there were like, it's an actual deep meaning. There's thought. It's like deep. So that's really great. It's, you know, these jokes. Yes, you have to have wonderful, really great, witty jokes like that when you have a room full of people that are sitting cross-legged looking at you, you know? Do you ever get the butterflies? I mean, hopefully you have the adrenaline rush, which feels great when you know what you're doing, you know? That's a wonderful feeling, I think. But do you ever get nervous before you go in front of a group of people? Or are you used to that now?
Well, I think I was telling Jonathan before we got you on the line that I had, to be honest, what kept me away from comedy for a long time was I had a huge nerve problem with it, almost a paralyzing one. I think it's the only reason I'm thin. I used to just get, I couldn't eat for a couple of days leading up to a show, and I would just be just terrified backstage, and I remember thinking, my goodness, this is it's optional in life. Why am I putting myself through this?
Right.
And then something happened. I think, you know, the Malcolm Gladwell, you put in your 10,000 hours, your mastery, or you just, the nerves went away. And now, especially since my mother passed on, it's my therapy. It's just my tonic. Like I was telling Jonathan, I would get up and do 45 minutes at a garage sale. I can't wait to get on stage now.
And oh, wonderful.
That's what I love doing. So, I mean, I still get excited, but I don't. I mean, you want to have a little bit of nerves because that means you care and you want to give everybody a good show. But, no, now I completely embrace it, which I think meditation helped me with. That's another thing. I think it can help you get over some of those fears, right? Because
oh,
I was just
yeah.
like, listen, I'm not on the front lines of, you know, Kandahar. I'm just that... A comedy,
right.
So like, no one's going to die except for maybe me on stage. Let's relax. And then I just, as I said, it was just such an escape for me and so healing to be able to go up on stage and talk about my mom. that it completely did a 180 for me, nerve wise. So,
oh,
you know,
I love that.
Yeah.
It is like anything else. It's like there's a hump that it's like, oh, it's just like some people never get over that hump. And then they give up because how long can you go trudge through some, and you love moments of it, but just those 2 days prior, just like horrible. And the worry and the doubts and all those horrible things in your mind that are making you feel that way. How long can a person go on that way? So it's good when people like actors, comedians, singers can get over that hump so they can now just enjoy it so much. And I'm glad to hear that all happened and you were, you know, honest about it, because a lot of people, they are nervous. Oh, I'm not nervous, you know, and it can freeze you up. It can totally paralyze you.
Well, I never listen. I'm Canadian. I'm very honest. And I remember, I think my mom used to try and help me with it. And she'd say, you know, she would name different pro athletes and like, very famous goalie back in the day, Ken Dryden, throws up in his mask before he plays hockey. And I'm like, that isn't helping. And one of the best things that the best pieces of advice, there's a really big producer in Toronto called Jeffrey Latimer. And I was about to go on and he said, you know, when you're the only person on stage, it's different than a play. He produces mostly plays and big musicals. And he said, you know, the audience is nervous for you, so you've got to be a good host and put them at ease. You know, they're coming in to get away from their problems and to have a relaxing night. And so when he put it, when he phrased it that way, and I'm like, oh, I'm the host? Well, I can be a good host. It just, we just spend too much time in our own heads. As soon as you can get out of your own way, and I'm one of those weirdo people that, you know, I think I'm a bit of a thrill seeker, so... And a risk taker is that if I have a fear, at some point I try to meet it head on. And then it just takes its power away, right?
Yes. And it is amazing how things change when you put them in a different perspective. And I used to do that when I competed in ballroom dance. I would just imagine myself as like a tiny sand pebble, not even that compared to the whole universe. So it's like, does it matter if it doesn't go exactly like... perfectly, you know.
Exactly.
No. Right.
Exactly. I mean, we're not surgeons. It's not like, oh, no, I dropped his heart. Like,
right.
You know, that's, and you can apply the 5-10 rule. Like, is this really going to matter in 5 or 10 years? And so, again, and also, if it's disastrous, that's to me now just 10 or 15 more minutes of material. Like, half
my words out of my mouth. Because, I mean, I was just thinking, sometimes it's the disasters that are just as funny as the stuff that goes well. Like, I mean, you know, in my, for instance, it's sort of like you go up there, you know, and actually it's funny because I did some, what I remember meeting, almost every comedian bombed the first time that they were out there. These are big names. Like, for example, like Rodney Dangerfield, the first time he came out, he was drunk. Jerry Seinfeld said 3 or 4 words and walked off the stage. It was like he said that, you know, like, I think it's understandable, you know. I think the mentality of it is that we forget how the audience sees it. Like, they're not thinking this person is up on stage and they're, I mean, I personally think that one of the best comedians I ever saw was Sam Kinison. And thing about Sam Kinison was that he would just scream and yell and he would get everything out. And then, you know, and then you would just, and then you found yourself just like, you know, watching, you felt like you were watching this maniac. And also, I think what made Rodney Dangerfield so great was because the only way that you could really be offended by Rodney Dangerfield is to tell him to get a better self-esteem. Because
I know a better way. I'm sorry. I met him. I went to a show. So super funny. I mean, I was actually surprised how the whole time I was laughing. And because, you know, he's older school type thing. And then we went backstage afterwards, and this is what he did. And I think he did it on purpose. He had his robe on, and he was glad to meet people backstage. He was sitting there in a tall stool, and he just had, like, his robe open. You could see totally all his family jewels right there, and there were a lot of people. Yeah.
He was known for doing that. I mean, I think people forget how, I mean, first of all, you both mentioned brilliant. I mean, Sam Kinison is another one who's he's the master. And beloved and fearless. And Dangerfield, I mean, a lot of times I watch old tiny clips of him on Johnny Carson. He's just brilliant.
Well,
and, you know, a lot of people, like millennials, don't know. And he was edgy, and his improv was brilliant. I think they just think of this, like, I get no respect, and that he was a shtick guy, but
what's funny about that is at the end of his life, I don't know if you know this story or not, he lapsed into a coma. And what happened was that they say that when someone's in a coma, you're supposed to talk to them. Over the years, Ronnie Dangerfield had given a lot of comedians their start. Louis Anderson, Andrew Dice Clay, Roseanne Barr. I mean, it was just, the list goes on and on and on. So what they all did was they went to see him in the hospital and they did their act.
Right.
And it was, and I mean, they don't know if he heard it. He probably did hear it or something, but it was the kind of, you know, wake him up. They weren't able to wake him up.
Oh,
but
wonderful.
But that was their allegiance to him. It was just like, he gave them their start.
That's
so
sweet.
Yeah.
That they did that.
Beautiful tribute and gesture. I'm sure he could hear.
Mm-hmm.
Good. That's fabulous. No, I wasn't aware of that story. But, yeah, he did give so many. You know, he's just a very generous. I like to think that he was in a coma and his robe was open and you could see everything. I mean, that's how I hope.
Carla, I'm so glad I told that story because I never knew that. And I just thought, oh, he was doing that. Like, was it on purpose? But he did that to people, huh? I mean, they come backstage and they have the silk robes just hanging, like, open. And this beautiful, gorgeous wife in this turquoise suit, young, elegant, very sophisticated looking woman standing right on his right to the side of him, you know, looking on. Like, he probably knew exactly what he was doing, and watching all of our reactions, it was really, that part was funny, too.
Fabulous.
And it was my dad. I was with my dad and my uncle, and it was a group of people like that. No, we will never forget it. And it's kind of funny because we were actually there with Ron Jeremy, getting back into the news here. Yes, and my boyfriend knew him for many, many years, just as a friend, you know, and nothing to do with porn or anything. And he's like, I know you were in Vegas for a trip with a group of people, my dad, my uncle, others, a lot of people. And he brought us all backstage. He's like, I know him. And that's what happened. And, yeah, that's pretty sad what happened to Ron, because I don't know if you've met him, but he was doing more mainstream work as a comedian traveling around. Did you know that?
I did, yeah. I mean, you know, he's certainly been in the news a lot lately, and he's had a long-standing, very bad reputation for being quite a predator. But I did know some friends who worked alongside him. He also did some time at the comedy Yuck Yucks up in Toronto, my hometown. So
that's interesting what's going on, because I just, I don't know, but I have a feeling. I actually have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of people coming out of the woodwork. We were going to have him on because I knew him, and then Johnny didn't want to because of the porn thing. And I'm like, okay, well, that's not what people do.
What it is we're not allowed to do anything that promotes porn, and I was worried that having him on would do that and would get me into trouble. But also another aspect of it, too, is I mean, you know, but you know, it's sort of funny. It's hard to be PC about this. Like, one of the jokes that I've often that I wrote him about is I said, yeah, I know that sometimes, like, actors, when they're getting ready to go to a photo shoot, will rehearse the scene in the back of the cab or where they're going to it on the way to the studio. And I was just wondering, do porn stars ever do that? So I sent him a question and asked him if they did that. I mean, like, imagine you're driving a taxi, right? And then in the back seat, you know, you see two guys, man and the woman. Okay, don't worry about us. We're just rehearsing a scene. They take off their glasses and it's Ron Jeremy and Jenna Jameson. Oh. I mean, you know, what are you thinking, you know?
Well, thank God you guys are having me on now, because I'm going to go the opposite route of Ron Jeremy. He started in porn and went to comedy, and I think, you know, I'm going to do comedy now, but then obviously eventually go into porn. I'm going to wait till I'm going to do senior porn, you know, something a little more niche for the boomers.
What do you have to lose, right?
One time I saw a comedian one time. He got up on stage, and he told a joke, and he says, ah, my name is Jack Steele, and I know what you're thinking. With a name like Jack Steele, I must either be a football player or a porn star. But I want to clear something up right now before you go on worrying. At no time in my life have I ever played football.
Johnny, this is not your comic hour.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding, though. I mean, Johnny always has these jokes, but by the time he's done telling it, sometimes, like, my mind has wandered, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you, but it took me a long time to know your jokes because I have to actually really focus on it. But that's why it's a very, you know, it takes a lot of talent. You know, it just does. It takes a lot of talent. When did you know that, okay, everybody tells me I'm funny, or I feel I'm funny, or, you know, I see a different meaning in every single thing I come across. When did you know, Carla, that you wanted to do this stand-up?
Well, I sort of answered this at the beginning before you were on, but I've just always really been a fan of comedy, and it was extremely gregarious, almost obnoxiously so, outgoing kid. But I grew up in a very funny family and who were very encouraging and supportive. I did a speech in grade 6, entered a contest about humor. As I mentioned to Jonathan, I love everybody from the Three Stooges to Oscar Wilde to Comedy of Manners, slapstick. I really like it all. And, like everybody else, I'd have friends that would encourage it, and I was just making some friends laugh one night in Montreal, where I lived just after school, and the owner of the Comedy Nest at the time overheard me and invited me to come and perform. And it was supposed to be amateur night, but it was packed because their two big comedians were going off on some Australian tour. And I remember I was just a kid and I walked up and I said, you know, are you DJ? And he said, who are you? And many male comedians were awful to me at the beginning, but they were very nice and they were making jokes like, look, Bambi does comedy. And I was in the unfortunate position where I absolutely killed the first night, which lulls you into a false sense of security.
Yeah.
But,
oh, awesome, though. That,
yeah,
I just got chills from that.
It went really well, but as it turns out, after a few months, even though I was, you know, put in the Just for Laughs festival, et cetera, I did not have a thick enough skin for it. You know, it was a harsh environment. Comedians could be really mean. So I was already working in TV and radio and opted to continue working in TV and radio. But as we mentioned earlier, I like to face my fears. So a few years back, about 8 years ago, I'm also old enough now that I don't really give a crap what people think of me. And I knew I was a lot stronger and could handle my business. And it was my first love, so I went back to the stage. So that's my circle of life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can imagine when you first start, and you're gorgeous, by the way, everybody will see when they log on to your websites. And now I'm on Amazon Prime. There is a show, Carlawood. It has episodes. It's wow. You have a show called Carlawood. Tell us about that.
Oh, well, it's a few years old now, but it's when I first moved to Los Angeles, and it's a reality show streaming on Amazon Prime about coming from Canada and trying to come here. It's a little bit more, it's a reality show, but it's more like a sitcom. And as I said, so now it features my ex and I. But, but it was a really fun show to do. Into that, there's a couple seasons of that, and I was all set to, you'll know this name, but David Steinberg was set to produce my first U.S. comedy special. I got the exciting news in February, and then we've had the shutdown, so hopefully at some point when things return to normalcy, I'll be able to tape my comedy special.
This is wonderful that you have that footage, even though, these episodes were, I don't know what you said, a couple of years ago or something, but it's throughout your life, and you can just add to it. And I love the name, Carla Wood. Like Dollywood.
Yeah, well, it was supposed to be called California, but that didn't pass legal. So they came up with Carla Wood, and I'm like, well, okay.
Well, I'm sharing it. I'm sharing it because I do have Amazon Prime, which I do love, and I'm sharing it right now on our Facebook so everybody else can easily find that.
Well, my comedic meditation, which I was calling Shelter at Home, it's exactly 1 week from today, on Wednesday, July 15th. And right now I've got the price crazy, crazy low at only $10 because I really want everyone to experience this and try it. And it's happening at 6 p.m. PST and 9 p.m. EST, but since people tune in from all over the world, or if you happen to be busy next Wednesday night, when you buy one of the links, it's good for up to 48 hours. So you can watch the show anytime for 2 days once you buy the link.
Okay, that is so good to know. And you know what I think? We just started a TV show, a TV channel on Roku. Wouldn't that be so great to have her on one of our Learn and on that for an hour?
Yes,
oh, wow. Wow, that would be so wonderful. We have a Roku, Life, Laughter, Happiness channel on Roku now. We just launched it, and we have all types of people. Thank you. Yes, we have all types of people that we're planning on having on to learn from. And what can you learn from this comic? Well, learn how to meditate and laugh while doing it. That is so up my alley. And tell us again about next Wednesday. Because I was reading this. What is next Wednesday again?
So next Wednesday I'm doing a comedic meditation again, live streaming it from the White Fire Theater into the safety and comfort of your homes all over the world. And what it entails is about 30 or 40 minutes of stand-up comedy. And then I take everybody through, and everybody can sit back or lie back, shut their eyes, and I take you through an authentic and original, I write my own, guided meditation. And it's not a parody. It's an actual guided meditation. So you'll be able to chuckle and chill, laugh and relax. And the link is available on comedicmeditation.com. And as I said, I've made sure that, as I figure, everybody's got $10 because I just want.
Oh,
to
yeah.
I
saw that
to
too.
Everyone.
Yes, I saw that too. The price. I went right to the prices. And you know what? That is a great price. It's affordable. Everybody. Everybody. That is a perfect price. I think that you priced that perfectly. And I want to do it. I'm going to put that in my calendar. What about you, Johnny?
We'll see. I'll look it up.
And the nice thing is that half the proceeds I give to the theater. So it also helps keep us, a small, wonderful local theater alive, because obviously it's a very difficult time for them. It's also half the price of what their shows usually are, because I do want everyone to experience it, and I acknowledge that it's new, so people are like, what the hell? I figure $10, because sometimes the people who need it most don't have a lot of money, especially all of us are, it's
right.
A difficult time. So the nice thing is I have a friend actually tonight who just bought 10 streams, and she's giving them away to friends.
That's nice. That's wonderful.
Yeah,
that is totally cool.
you can buy as many streams as you want, or, you know, $10 makes it easy for you to have. And they've done, it looks so good. Like, they've done, the great thing about the White Fire is they've been perfecting their live streaming for over 2 years now. So it's just great timing for them to be able to offer this. It feels like you're in the front row of the theater. And
wow.
The audience, yeah, everybody, we did one 2 weeks ago. That's why I'm doing one right away. And the feedback was tremendous. I didn't know I was being reviewed, and thank God I didn't know, because I would have liked them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
now, where does this mm-hmm. thing, meditation, air? Where does it air on? On the website?
Well, once you buy a ticket, you'll be sent a link the night of.
You have access to that
link for 48 hours. So you can watch it on anything you want. You can hook it up to your TV. You can watch it on your laptop. You can watch it on your phone. You can watch it on whatever. You just click the link. It's really easy.
Okay.
I like that.
Like a live stream. It's the way that live streams always work.
And then it just disappears after a couple of days. And that's cool. Yeah. And that keeps them coming back, too. I mean, you're a businesswoman.
Well, that's the thing. Well, and also, it's new every time. It's different comedy and a different meditation. So.
Right. So you're rolling it over. Are you on YouTube? Do you have a YouTube channel?
I do have a YouTube channel. I need to update stuff on that. But I do have a YouTube channel. And a lot of my stuff can be found on my Facebook page or Instagram. You know, so I've got some of my characters.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
isn't there a lot these days to handle, which that's, I guess, why they're called handles. We have so much to do. All the social media and, update this, update that. You really spend most of your day doing that. Sometimes I do. Just updating everything. For my own self, Barbara Moore, and then for Life, Laughter, Happiness. But, hey, that's the way it is. And you know what? We reach so many more people like that. And I'm glad. I'm glad we're in this age of technology.
Well, thank God, especially going through what we're going through right now.
Right.
I think we're all quite dependent on it and very grateful for it, considering it's our whole life now.
But like you said, it's good for some people, like this theater. It's kind of giving them a new way to reach more people and to stay alive, you know, get afloat during all this. So people are all finding their ways, which is totally cool. But I want to know, when you said that the comedians, when you come along and you're brand new and very young, why are they mean? I mean, do they try to throw the other comedian off? Is it because there's just so much competition? I know there is. When I go to L.A. and I go to the Comedy Store, I mean, every single one of them is fantastic. Like, I am just like 2 hours of crying tears of laughing. I love it. So they are
great. Seen a good night.
Oh yeah!
God, I've never been to a night where everybody was fabulous. So that's
gosh, maybe it was just
you're like a lottery
because,
winner.
Like I had been gone for 2 years in a very small town, and I come in, and my entertainment lawyer knew everybody. So I think it was different for me that he knew everybody. We were entering through the back way, through the kitchen. Hi to this person. I don't know. Maybe I was just like really high on life too that night too. I was really excited to be there, but it seemed like they all were so funny and wonderful. But why? Why are they mean? Are they just out to get you because they want to look better than you? Do they want you to quit?
I can't really
why?
Answer that. I have no idea why. I mean, it's just, because it's a, look, it's, you're swimming with the sharks. It's just sort of the culture that a lot of, not all, of course, these are sweeping generalizations, but that a lot of comedy clubs, nerds, you know, that's what they threw out there. And, you know, because of the sheer numbers, I think they don't want to waste their time. So it's a bit like, you know, Lions and Christians. You're just being, you got to throw out there and have to be, I guess, tough enough to withstand. And obviously I've met some wonderful comedians too, but they're often, and especially the guys, the numbers are better now, but it's still male dominated. So, you know, you're working with that a bit. I don't really know. It just seems, and I think that's changing now in all respects. So hopefully it's a much better atmosphere because we need more women's voices and young voices. And you know, because a lot of people, here's the other reason I think it's so difficult, is because people see it and think, oh, anyone can do that. I'll go do I'll go, I'm an actor or actress trying to make it in Hollywood. I'll go do, and so I think they have to weed people out just for the sheer numbers. And, you know, it's not a glamorous thing. It's very difficult. And until you make it, it's, you know, you don't make a lot of money. So I think it just, it just formed the dog eat dog environment. It's, I mean, I'm not at all like that, so I can't speak to why people are like that. I don't think there's any reason. I think there's room for every voice. I agree with Dave Chappelle. I think it's the purest art form, and I think we need them. I think they're, you know, comedians are current day philosophers, and also rodeo clowns, you know, steering you away from bull crap. And so for me, and obviously, like, you know, I do my best to nurture and create relationships with newcomers. But then again, Barbara, I'm a peach. I'm Canadian.
Yeah, you are. So. Yeah. But you know what? It is true, though, that it is just this raw talent because, hey, you have to memorize, like an actor, memorize all of your lines, but then live, do it with the impeccable timing, because timing, if it's not timed out right, it's just, it's too bad. It's not funny. And the timing, and then working off the audience and feeling that whole energy and making that work for you instead of, they're a part of you and becoming like one. Yes. And so all of those, and that takes immense talent and just like focus or just a lot of different things coming together just to ignite it. I like that you had your very first big night went, that it went off so great like that. I think that was good. I think that was a wonderful moment.
The kid running it said, because he really, they did not want to put me on whatsoever. And I said, you know, the boss said I could go on. And I was working at Canada's Weather Network at the time. So I had, you know, the Weather Channel. I had the night off. I was an anchor there. And I said, oh, no, I've got to go on tonight. He said I could go on. They were all looking like, who the hell is this? And he said, okay, listen, you're not my responsibility. Go up there. The light will flash after 5 minutes. It's going to seem like an eternity. You know, you're not my responsibility. Don't ruin our big night. This is our big send-off. And I thought, oh, crap. So I went up there, and I was killing. And I finally said, you're right. This is going on forever, because he left me. I was up there for 15 minutes.
Awesome. I'm glad you pointed that out. You know, that was a good thing. Yeah,
we became good friends after that, but they really do. They just they do those lions, and I was a kid and very, very nervous, and I can remember my friends in the front row thinking, oh, what if she bombs? It's going to be an awkward car ride home, but anyway.
I know. Can you imagine?
Sorry
to interrupt, talk over you a little bit, but I just thought of that show, and this is on Amazon Prime too, Marvelous Miss, what is that show that she
Marvelous Mabel.
Mabel, yes. I loved that. I started watching that. I thought, that is amazing. That's a lot of dialogue to do all the time. Pretty good,
well, it's
right?
Not terribly accurate about really what a comedian would do, but I absolutely adore the show, and I love Susie, her manager. It's
You said it is inaccurate.
No, it's not at all accurate for a depiction. It's not accurate, but I do enjoy the show very much and the time. And I think the sad thing is I was watching it with friends, and there was, I don't know if it was the first, it was the second season, and she went up there, and there were five male comics heckling her and giving her a hard time, and I said, this is supposed to take place in the late 50s, and this same thing happened to me a couple weeks ago. And I, of course, have got to the point where I can just shut those boys down, because I'm killing. But I said, you know, it's comedy has to catch up, because it was the same deal. Like,
but you said it wasn't realistic. How is it not realistic?
The comedian herself. You don't get up on stage and start, you know, drunk and just start telling stories off the top of your head about.
Right. And or just go up and take care of your baby and then just catch a cab, run down, just pop in and do your schlick. Anytime you just pop in, you're doing it, and then you're out.
Yeah.
And
all of a sudden the kids disappear for all of season two, and I'm like, okay. But it's a fun escapism, and it's beautifully acted, beautifully written. But most comedians will tell you it's not at all. And I love the fact that there's the fictional Lenny Bruce in there, that they have some real characters. But, but you got to take it for what it is in any kind of dramas. It's very difficult to really capture comedy. There's a wonderful, I can't think of the author, but my brother gave me this Pulitzer Prize book that was translated called A Horse Walks Into a Bar, and it's phenomenal because it is this author is brilliant in that he captures, because it's really just a comedian's night on stage, and I was thinking, oh boy, because it's really hard to capture as a writer if you're not a stand-up, and it's just phenomenal. So it certainly can be done.
Remember when she was married and her husband was going up, he wanted to be the comedian. She didn't even want to be. And he bombed so much. Oh, wow, was that an awkward time. That can be really a reality for a lot.
Someone else's material that he saw on, was it Ed Sullivan or something? I can't remember, but he was, doing somebody else's shtick.
It was just all bad. It was just like, but that really happens. Have you witnessed a really, really bad bomb live with somebody that you know or was there live and saw that happen?
Have I witnessed a bomb?
Like somebody bombing, like completely just going up there and just.
Oh, every night.
Comedy,
I've witnessed a bomb.
Oh, so this is happening a lot. And so do they just say, oh, gosh, like that didn't go well, but they keep coming back? Or does that sometimes just, like, ruin somebody and they never want to do it again?
I can't answer for someone else, but I think people know that bombing's probably going to be part of it, and they always come back. I think there's a real love and... everyone's bombed, and I think they'll know that's part of it, but especially newcomers are. The best thing is to acknowledge. There's not a lot of rules, I think. You have to be your own person up there, but you can never turn on the crowd. It's never the crowd's fault. And a lot of comedians make that mistake and start getting angry, like, are you guys all
right?
I know when I first started, start talking faster and over it, and then finally if it's quiet, I just play with it. But I'll do an entire show improvised, so I'm just like, okay, listen. That obviously needs some finessing, or you guys are not with me on that. That was too delicate. And if you acknowledge it, and just it's all good comedy just comes from an authentic, honest place. If you're yourself, and I think crowds now and audiences they're so sophisticated. It's like, people are working on TikTok. I think they can sniff a phony.
Oh, yeah.
So the days of somebody going up there, old-timey comedians don't, like old-time radio people going, good body every morning. Put water to your cottage. Like, no one wants to hear that thing.
Nobody. Mm-mm.
Everybody wants
I just wouldn't
be,
laugh.
Yeah, they'd want it to be organic. And so I always say you have to be yourself. And I guess... I don't know. I'm guessing the key is to come up with something that's extraordinarily original, but yet still amazingly universal.
I bet you're constantly thinking of things. This is happening. You're probably writing all day or notes. You have to have your pad and pen with you because,
I have all over my place.
Right.
I can't sleep. I get up. I try to write every day.
Because you're finding comedy in pretty much everything. You can. I think that's a wonderful life because you are over the hump for years now, something completely original that is taking off, and you've found a nice place during the coronavirus to stream and show your craft and continuing to do it because, like you said, is it your seltzer, your soda water? It keeps you going. You need it.
Thank you. You've got 6 hours to stop complimenting me, Barb. You're my new girl crush.
Well, my goodness. I admire
you.
This is not
thank
easy.
You so much.
This is not easy stuff at all.
Well,
and plus,
nothing is at first, right? Nothing is. We've all got our challenges, so might as well laugh along the way.
Because there's other things that are a lot easier than stand-up comedy. To me, it's hard.
As I said, everything, I think the stand-up comedy is also very, it's a seductive mistress. And I think you get addicted to the laughter back when we had them, and immediate gratification. And as I was saying to Jonathan earlier, just the total freedom because, if I'm acting, we're doing voiceovers, I'm reading someone else's material. There's restrictions on everything, whether it's radio or TV. But when you're doing comedy, what's terrifying about it is also what's so alluring. You get to be writer, director, producer, performer. It's just you and a microphone. It's a beautiful, pure art, really, in that way.
Yes, with no restrictions. You can do whatever you want.
Exactly.
Wow, I love it. Well, this has been so wonderful getting to know you and who you are and getting a glimpse into your and how it all happened. And wonderful. And you're from Canada. Did you say you're from Montreal?
No, I lived in Montreal. I was actually born in a very small town called Sault Ste. Marie. There is a Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, Twin Cities. And I would probably say Toronto is home. I spent, I guess probably the longest time in the Toronto area. And now L.A. I've lived in France. I speak French as well. My mom's
French.
Cool.
That's what I was going to ask you. The French Quarter.
Bit of a gypsy, but I figure life's short, so you got to try and live in a few. And you guys are out of New York?
I live in Huntington Beach, but I always was living in L.A. before
I live
that.
In Florida.
Oh, so you're in Florida, and where are you, Barbara?
Huntington Beach, California, but I always lived in L.A. area before. Yeah,
I can
come to your shows. I am so into it. I love it. And I haven't been to a comedy place for about a year. It's time. Sometimes I just have to go.
Yeah, well, it might be another year before we get to do it, but let's fingers crossed that we can gather again soon.
Well, hey, everybody, I'm going to be there next Wednesday. I want to experience the comedic meditation. Well, that is if we're not doing our show live. What time is this again? You might as well just tell our listeners what is the theater called?
It's the White Fire Theater, but you just go to comedicmeditation.com. You can go to whitefiretheater.com too, because that's where you get links for the tickets. And remember, if you guys are busy, you can just tune in at any time within 48 hours after we go live.
Okay.
So I'll go from 6 p.m. PST Pacific Standard Time until about 7:30. But if that's not convenient for you, the link will be up and you can hit that whenever you want for the next 48 hours. So we've set it up so that, if everybody's busy or they have a conflict, that you can watch it for 2 days.
Well, that's wonderful because you want to be able to sit down or lay down after you enjoy your show. And that's a good amount of comedy that you're giving the people, 30 to 40 minutes of stand-up, and then you want to be able to relax, and maybe you're not going to go to bed at 7 o'clock if it starts at 6. You want to save it for later. That's what I would do, and then after a good laugh.
The East Coast loves it because we had a Q&A, we had a question and answer period, which I think we'll be doing again because everybody seems to like that at the end of it. And I had all these friends say, oh, I just love the show and meditation, but where was the question and answer period? And I said, I think you fell asleep. Because especially the East Coast or Europe where it's much later.
Yeah. Like Johnny, he can fall asleep after our show every night. For me, then I make dinner.
so that's why it's great for the East Coast because they'll get it at 9. And we tried to schedule it so it would work for, as many time zones as popular. And my brother in New Zealand, watches it. He's still teaching during that time, so he just watches it later.
Oh, cool. Out there in New Zealand. I know, worldwide. Okay, so now I'm so glad that you just told everybody, because that was our shout out for you of where to find this comedic meditation next Wednesday night. How fun. I love it. And
good. Well, I hope you guys enjoy it. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
Thank you. All right.
You're welcome. Carla Collins. She's super funny, fabulous, and, you know, when you're not on stage, you're wonderful. You're a light. You're a joy, energy. Yeah. I love that. Good job, Johnny, for finding Carla.
Right.
You know, get to know her. I love it. Awesome. Well,
you guys are awesome.
Ready for the shout out?
Yes, the shout out is to where you can find this show. In about an hour, we're going to upload it to our YouTube channel, Life, Laughter, Happiness. So please listen to this show again and listen to our other shows. Find, you have about 300 or maybe 400 shows now to choose from there. And we are super excited to continue with creating episodes for our new Roku channel, Life, Laughter, Happiness, Learn. And we hope to bring Carla Collins back for that, for one of these wonderful meditations. That would be awesome. And please follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and our Facebook. We update that regularly with info on everything we're doing. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And, you know, we wish you a wonderful night, Carla. And we're so sorry. We're sorry for the beginning of the show when nobody could connect and there was all the technical issues. But we are still in Mercury retrograde, everybody. But around July 15th, it's going to get it's going to probably be over.
Okay.
There we go. Just in time for comedic meditation. Thanks so much, guys. I'm going to jump off, but I really appreciate everything. You're wonderful.
Well, good night, Barbara.
Thank you, Carla. Good night.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.